On this episode of Rock Down South, we sit down with rock band Pistols at Dawn. We talk all about how the band started, their new album, new lead singer, and of course them being from Atlanta. We hope y'all enjoy. Let's go.
Hey, this is Adam from Pistols at Dawn. You're listening to Rock Down South.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Rock Down South, your home for rock and country music. Today, we had the pleasure of speaking with Adam Jaffe from the rock band Pistols at Dawn. And these guys are not only an awesome hard rock band with great tunes, but they're also from our backyard here in Atlanta. And they have a brand new debut album out called Ascension and some cool music videos to go along with it. Their latest single, The Truth, actually hit top 40 in the rock charts, and they're gearing up for an incredible tour opening up for Alter Bridge. Needless to say, this band rocks, and I think you guys will enjoy this episode. So without further ado, here's the show. Adam, how you doing today, man?
What's up, my bro? It's great to be here, and Happy New Year's to both of y'all. Really thankful for y'all having us today.
Happy New Year's to you, man. We're really excited to have you on here. And yeah, it's going to be fun. Let's get into it.
Let's do it. I am ready for anything you got.
And Adam, you play the drums in this band, right?
I am the drummer, yes.
Drummer. And are you the founding and original member?
Yes. So Devin White and I founded the band back in 2015. There were a couple other guys that we were with from Atlanta. We had all grown up in the Atlanta music scene since we were literally little kids, playing the library and playing the rec room, you know, way back in the day when we were little. And after growing up in the music scene and kind of seeing each other out at tons of different shows, a bunch of us joined up in different bands. And then ultimately, we got together and decided to put together what we thought was an Atlanta kind of hard rock super group, you know, of all the guys that had done very well. We put the band together in 15, got some singles done, and then had to take a break. And then one of our principal guitarists died. And leading up from cancer and leading up to 2019, summer of 2019, we basically put our heads down. My guitarist called me up and he was just like, dude, we have to do this. And I was like, well, if I'm going to do it, we're going all the way. And that's kind of where we've been.
That's awesome, man. And it's really exciting for us to talk to, you know, an Atlanta act, as we don't talk to too many Atlanta acts, you know, at all. So it's awesome to be repping Atlanta as a band and us talking to you guys. But I don't really consider you guys, you know, the local band around here, because, I mean, you guys are signed to a national label, I believe. You're about to go on a national tour. So you guys are by no means a local act, in my opinion, anymore.
Thank you. And we'll take that as a huge compliment. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. When we put this together back in 19 and in 20, when we put our heads down and I really decided we were going to take it as far as we could, I made the decision not to be a local band. We weren't going to go play the local clubs. We weren't going to go try to really be big and established in Atlanta. That wasn't our goal. We wanted to be an Atlanta band. We are proud of where we're from. We love the fact that it's, you know, it's been a while since a big time hard rock band came out of Atlanta, from our knowledge. So we really marketed the entire United States, and we marketed Europe, and we marketed Asia, and we marketed Australia and South America. And so we have fans and have had fans and been building fans all over the world since basically day one of taking this professionally. And like you said, we're signed in every way possible. We have a full team, you know, everything from the booking agents to the top publicists and everything else. And, you know, I think what's really cool now, though, is we love going out to the Midwest and talking about Atlanta. You know, we went to meet with Axl Lowe recently at when Rock 100.5 was still around, and we played an acoustic set for him on our last acoustic tour. And, you know, we're proud as shit to be from Atlanta, and Jackson Heaton and all those guys. And I can tell you, regardless of the fact that multiple members of my band now live in various places throughout the United States, we're from Atlanta anytime we're asked, and we're proud of that.
Love to hear that, man. I love to hear that. And I think your new singer, Chris, I think he's based out of LA, right?
Yeah, Chris Hodges is our front man and singer. He was touched by the gods when he was a baby and born. This guy has talent that is world-class elite and just doesn't exist with too many people, you know, except at the higher echelons of music. And we sought him out once we saw we had to make an upgrade and a change. And he comes down to Atlanta from LA. In fact, he was here last night rehearsing with us. We're actually playing a benefit show here in Atlanta on January 14th, which we're now making an annual event for charity and kind of our big Atlanta local show, if you want to call it, annually. And
that's at the Vinyl?
That's at Vinyl. Yeah. It's called the, I think it's the New Year's, I think, Benefit Bash. And Chris was actually in town. You know, we fly him in all the time. He flies all over the country to meet us wherever we need him. And he's been amazing. And we actually have a shredder who's 22 from Greenville, South Carolina, who was in both Chris and our shredder, Will. They're in two of the top tribute bands. Well, Chris is in one of the top tribute bands in the world called In the End. It's a Linkin Park tribute band.
Yeah, I've seen some videos. Those guys are awesome.
Dude, yeah, it's legit. And he sounds like Chester when he wants to. It's crazy. But, you know, we've got his original talent coming out now. And so between him and Will from Greenville, Devin from Kennesaw area, Ackworth area, myself, and then we have a bassist named Sean, who was in the band Goat Whore for a while. He moved here from Las Vegas to be with us. And so he's living with Devin out in Ackworth. And, you know, we're just booking up 2023 and just ready to tear some shit up. We've got 42 dates booked right now on a couple national tours.
Goat Whore is actually kind of kicking it back up. I saw them recently.
Yeah. Sean, our bassist, is a badass. When you see him, he's got a mohawk. He looks mean as fuck, and he's the nicest guy. Excuse my language. He looks that way, but he's actually one of the nicest guys you could meet. And he plays bassist and sings. One of the coolest things about our band is we're a plug and play band. We do not use tracks other than a click track.
Wow.
So yeah, all of our music is actually, we're actually playing it all. And one of the great things about Sean and Chris and Will is they have three-part harmonies live. So that's one of the very cool things we were able to add when we sought out the upgrades that we made at the conclusion of 22 after we recorded the new album Ascension with Sylvia Massey.
So Linkin Park, Goat Whore, Billboard has you classified as mainstream rock. What would you say is, you know, your style of music, or at least currently, and, you know, what are some of your influences?
Mainstream. Yeah. So we just hit actually 33 on the Billboard charts, on the mainstream rock chart at the conclusion of the year. And we hit number 6 on the secondary market chart.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well done.
Thank you. Yeah. It was a hell of an end of the year, and radio has been very kind to us in the United States. And we're really making that a focus both this year and next year. But I would say we're a mainstream hard rock band, straight up. You know, we're a mainstream rock band, definitely with an edge. You know, I wouldn't call us alternative. Some people call us that, but I don't think so. I think we're straightforward, old school hard rock, influenced by Pantera, Metallica, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Foo Fighters. You got the grunge era meets the new metal era meets the old school Guns N' Roses, you know, Living Color era from back in the day. And then you've got serious metal. You know, we love Gojira. We love Deftones and grew up on Deftones, Metallica, Pantera. So you kind of hear, I think one of the things you get when you hear our music is that you're going to feel instantly like you've kind of heard it before, but with our own, we have our own twists on things, if that makes sense.
My son, who's only 17, I was listening to you in the car, and he thought you were Five Finger Death Punch for a second. I was kind of surprised, but then I listened, like, yeah, they are pretty hard. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I take that as a massive compliment, and I hope to be as big as they are one day.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, like you mentioned, there's a lot of elements that you may have heard before that sound maybe a little bit familiar, but like in various different areas. There's a little bit of the alternative, like you mentioned in there. And then there's a little bit of the serious XM metal in there as well. So I dug it. I liked it. And, you know, just because Chris, you know, wasn't a Linkin Park or isn't a Linkin Park tribute band, I actually got no hint of stuff that sounded exactly like him or trying to imitate him by any stretch.
Yeah, it was all original for sure.
Yes. Yeah, so, and thank you. Now, to be upfront as possible and transparent as possible, when we did the album, we actually recorded the album back in the summer of 21. When we did that and recorded it and completed it towards the end of 21, we still had our original frontman that we were using at the time. His name was Chris Pearson. And that is his voice on the new album.
Oh, okay. So that's him on the new album.
Okay.
That's him on the new album. He's from the Atlanta scene as well. Grew up, played a ton, toured a ton. He was on that show, Rockstar Supernova, with Tommy Lee back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
VH1. He was a finalist on that show.
I remember that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was a finalist from Atlanta. And super talented dude. Incredible writer, incredible singer, as you can hear, did all the harmonies himself on the album. And we enjoyed working with him for a significant amount of time. But when it came to 22, we saw that we were going to be touring and playing, and that was going to be the focus. And it just didn't work out with the old Chris. So we made a change to the new Chris.
Very cool. Very interesting. I mean, band's got to move and got to grow. And definitely excited to see you guys play live with the new singer. I think that'd be really exciting.
Yeah, us too. And are y'all going to be at the show on the 14th?
We are definitely going to try.
I have my ticket.
You got your ticket? I'm going to get mine.
Oh, I got my ticket already. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to continuing our conversation then in person. And we've got a great set plan for that night. That's what we were rehearsing the last couple nights, and excited for that. And you know, we've had Chris Hodges for a year now. And so he's an integral fixed member of our band. I wouldn't even call him new anymore. He's just our guy, if that makes any sense. And I think you'll see that when you see him on the 14th.
Excellent. Well, can't wait for that. The latest album, Ascension, which you guys released, I believe it was in August. I really like it. Like you mentioned, I think The Truth landed on the top 40 on the rock charts. But was there anything particular about the album that you guys were going in that you wanted to strive for? Was there a particular feeling or message, and we kind of talked about sound a little bit, but was there anything specific that you guys were searching for when you guys were recording this thing?
Yeah. So the couple things we wanted to achieve, we felt really good about the initial singles we put out, the EP we put out, and it was kind of an evolution in our kind of musical journey, let's call it. And so the biggest thing around the world with reviews of our band from the singles leading up through the EP going into Ascension and us writing Ascension was love it, love it, love it. Can't wait to hear a full album, right? So when we set out to do the album, we do everything just naturally. Devin and I basically go down, he starts throwing out riffs and boom, you've got an album, right? Well, we wanted to give people two major things. One, a full experience. We wanted there to be bangers. We wanted there to be your kind of commercial radio songs. We wanted there to be your slower, really kind of moody songs. We wanted there to be fast, hard, soft, the whole kind of visceral experience. So you could push play and listen to the 8 tracks, not get bored, have a total experience, and then just be psyched to play it again. And that was the second thing we really sought out to do, was have no fluff. You know, so many bands put out 15, 20 track albums, and all you want to do is listen to 3 songs. You know, we wanted to put out an 8-track album that you listen to 32 minutes of the 8 tracks and you're ready to hit play again. So I think that was the biggest thing. And then we also wanted to work with a super producer, which we did with Sylvia Massey, who did Tool's, you know, biggest albums, and had worked with System of a Down and Johnny Cash and so many of the biggest artists in the world. And working with her really took us to the next level, where we could get the type of representation that we needed in order to be a true touring professional act.
It's a great album, and some interesting artwork too. Is there any story behind the artwork?
Yeah. So when we initially put out the EP, Nocturnal Youth, you know, we were in the middle of the pandemic, and when we decided to go pro and do this full time, and it's basically a 24/7 gig. It's the type of thing where if you're really going to go pro, you got to work it nonstop. And the pandemic hit, and I just decided with my lady, Allie, who is our creative director and does all of our social media and whatnot, And we just basically decided to put our head down and engage with as many people as possible, post as much as possible, and really try to dig our way out of the pandemic in a metaphorical way to try to provide people with, you know, as much content as possible. We made 8 professional videos during the pandemic, put out an EP and recorded our album. And I guess it's, you know, when we did the EP art, we found a guy out in Eastern Europe who did the art, and, you know, he kind of shows you in the pit, and everybody has like a stamped, you know, one of those stamped things on the back of their heads. And it's just the type of thing where you're trying to get out of the darkness. And then when we came into Ascension, we went back to our good friend in Romania who does very cool art, kind of like Megadeth, very interesting, kind of like, you know, a couple of the truly heavy metal bands who do great art, Iron Maiden and such. We went back to him and we were like, listen, we're coming out of the pit. We're coming into the light. And that's where we are now. You know, we're still in the pandemic, but things are better. People are moving up and, you know, and going out and going to shows and playing music and this, that, and the other, and living their lives a hell of a lot more. So we wanted to call it Ascension for that reason. And we wanted it to be much more positive, like you were coming out of the pit. And so if you look at the artwork, you basically go from being in the pit and digging our way out to coming out of the pit. And I think you're going to find when we put out our next album sometime, after we get through all the different radio singles we have lined up for 23, you know, I think we've got a tentative name of Untethered, and I think you're going to see us flying at that point.
I felt that when I looked at it. I'll be honest, it reminded me of one of my favorite B-movie actors, Bruce Campbell, who kicks serious butt, but looks like Bruce Campbell and like Army of Darkness, just kicking everything, you know, just
yes,
tearing it up. I loved it.
We're old school rockers, man. It's the type of thing where, I mean, we're young and we're vibrant as hell, and we're fun as hell to play with, but it's the type of thing where we are old school. Like, we loved concerts growing up. That's what we did. We were those guys who used to stand outside at 3 o'clock in the morning to get tickets. We were those guys who, yeah, you know, would, that's why we put out 10 videos in I think 14 months. And it's the type of thing where we love being rockers. We love playing music. That's why we don't use tracks. That's like the one rule in our band. You know, you have to be able to play what you record.
And the fact that you paid attention to the album art in the day of streaming, I think that's great. I love it.
And that's the thing. We want the album art to be interesting. We want it all to be interesting.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I don't want to put out anything that I'm not personally looking forward to sitting down and enjoying myself as a fan, you know?
Absolutely. So we'll be seeing you on the 14th here in Atlanta, but also in a couple of weeks after that, the 28th, as part of your big tour, as you mentioned. Alter Bridge, Wolfie, or Mammoth, and Red. You've got to be excited about that. How did that come about?
Yeah, so we're very fortunate right now. We've got a great team behind us, and we work with some really awesome radio guys at a company called CO5. And our top radio guy gave us a call one day, and he's like, hey, I'm talking to the Alter Bridge guys, and we want to connect y'all. We think it'll be an amazing show with you and Wolfgang and Mammoth and Alter Bridge and PAD opening. What do you think? And I was just like, where do you want me to sign? You know, I mean, like, it was just instantaneous. Like, all I know is that within 2 hours we had the deal and we were on the Alter Bridge tour. And, you know, it propelled us exactly where we wanted to be. You know, we didn't want to go around and play just a bunch of random, you know, shows and random touring and stuff. We wanted big tours. And so we really felt strong about the album we put out. Radio was really behind us. We went out and did a radio tour and played acoustic for tons of program directors and whatnot. And that was amazing. And so radio was behind us and we were moving up the charts. And Alter Bridge, the band had to approve us, and they did. And you know, we got the gig. And interestingly, we are, despite the fact that they're playing in Atlanta, we do not have the Eastern leg. Red has the Eastern leg of the tour, and we have the Western leg of the tour. So we'll be playing in March, starting in Oklahoma, going through the entire Southwest and the entire West Coast. But I will say, in January, there's going to be another big announcement. I can't say the bands, and it's a really interesting bill, but there's going to be another announcement sometime, hopefully early in January. We're working on the deal as we speak, with a nice 28 show tour, full US, full Southeast, including Atlanta, included coming this spring.
Fantastic.
But it's a real interesting bill. Our booking agent in Nashville called and said, do you want this US, full US tour? And, you know, we just want to play nonstop everywhere as much as humanly possible. And when you hear this bill, you're going to be like, I would have never imagined these three bands together, but it is pretty cool.
Definitely piqued our interest.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Super excited about that.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So yeah, we're just really excited. We're going to Vegas at the end of February. We're playing their big radio. It's a radio conference they have out there with all the radio PDs and stuff. You have to kind of put in your time and meet everybody and schmooze. And we're going to break our next single middle of January. Our next single is going to be Under the Surface, song number one on the album. If you listen to that, it's a banger. It's fun as hell. I love it. Love playing it. Can't wait to play it for you on the 14th. And then, you know, we come into March and then we get into spring and we have 2 months of dates planned, 40 dates around the country, literally coast to coast. And our goal is just to plan more and more and more and more and more. We just want to go play everywhere with everyone. That's it. That's the only plan right now.
I heard Chris Hodges was somehow involved with the Top Gun Maverick movie. Is that true?
Yeah. So Chris, he's one of the top session singers in LA, and that's how we found him. We wanted the best of the best. And Chris has done work on multiple movies. You know, he's just very talented and super awesome person, easy to work with. So when we had found him, he had done some work recently on the Top Gun Maverick soundtrack. And, you know, we were curious, what does that mean? And so it turns out that it was either the director or the producer that had called him at like midnight. They were filming and they were doing, you know, that Jerry Lee Lewis song. They were doing the singing part in the bar where they're at the end. Where
the Great Balls of Fire. Yeah.
Great Balls of Fire. So apparently, I think it was Miles Teller didn't want to sing. He's just like, dude, I don't sing. I'm not singing. And they called him late night and they were like, listen, we need you to sing Great Balls of Fire. And it's going to be basically Miles using your voice. And so Chris laid it down, sent him the tracks immediately. And he said when he saw the movie, he's pretty sure it's his voice in the movie.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
How cool.
Super cool.
So these next questions are what we close with and ask everyone. So first question, what would you tell your 21-year-old self?
Ooh. Well, on the topic of music, I think what I would tell my 21-year-old self is that when you decide that you want to do music professionally, just be prepared to work harder than you've ever worked in your life and be prepared to work through challenges that you couldn't even fathom. And whatever you do, and most importantly to myself, my 21-year-old self, and any other musician out there that wants to be a pro, don't stop. Just keep going, put your head down, and keep going.
Question number two. What are you drinking lately? And if you don't drink alcohol, it could be anything refreshing that you like.
Oh, man. I am old school. I like whiskey. Jack Daniels for me. Jameson for my guitarist, Devin. We're old school whiskey guys, man. We don't mess around. We don't need the high-end stuff. And
Would you drink it if I brought you some Angel's Envy to the 14th show?
My guitarist, well, I play for me, drumming is like an athletic event, but my band, Chris, Devin, Sean, they'll absolutely drink with you. Please do bring it. Please do bring it.
I'll bring some.
And maybe after the show, you know, maybe after the show, I'll have a drink with you.
Okay.
But Devin is a true rocker. I mean, you'll enjoy it.
Okay.
Imagine having a drink with Slash. Like Devin is Slash Junior.
Yeah, I always picture Slash with that JD, the whole bottle in his hand.
Exactly. That's Devin. Yeah.
So as you know, this is Rock Down South. So what is something, or maybe a couple things that come to mind, that you love about the South?
We're big fans of sweet tea. We just went on a radio tour in the Midwest, and that was a problem. I'll be honest with you. we went to Cracker Barrel regularly to get some sweet tea in the Midwest. The weather, you cannot beat the weather in the South. The weather down South is the best. Like I said, we were just on that radio tour in November, and it was friggin', you know, we were in upper Wisconsin in the middle of nowhere, and it's, you know, it's snowing like blizzard style, like scaring us, you know, freaky stuff. So yeah, the weather in the South, the food in the South, the sweet tea in the South. And honestly, Southern hospitality is real. You know, I'll tell you about the South. I love coming home to the South. That's the greatest thing. I didn't know how much before, but I can tell you as a touring artist now that coming home to the South, coming back to Georgia, coming back to Atlanta, that is a refreshing feeling.
Hey, thank you so much, Adam, for being a part of the show today. Where can people find and connect with you guys online?
Yeah, so our website's pistolsatdawnband.com. We've got a bunch of content on there, tour dates, tickets, etc. We are on Facebook. If you follow us, we post all the time. Lots of great posts, lots of great content, and we will engage if you comment about 99% of the time. It's one of our most important things. It's Pistols at Dawn Band on Facebook and Pistols at Dawn Official on Instagram.
Thank you so much for listening to the show today. We hope y'all enjoyed this episode. Gil and I had a really great time chatting with Adam. He's such a cool guy, and I absolutely love his band. Really excited to see them play live here at their benefit show in Atlanta. So make sure to go follow Pistols at Dawn on all of their social media pages and check out their latest album, Ascension, and catch them on tour when they come through your city this year. You can find all our content at rockdownsouth.com and make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest updates. Leave us a 5-star review if you can. We would really appreciate it. And as always, the views and opinions expressed by our guests are theirs and don't necessarily reflect our own. I'm Mark, and you've been listening to Rock Down South. See y'all next time.